الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our studies of the third pillar of Al-Islam, the pillar of Al-Zakat, Ita'u Zakat. So in our previous classes we have begun discussing the issues with regards to Masarif Al-Zakat, or Ahl Al-Zakat, or Al-Ladina Yastahiquna Al-Zakat, the people who are qualified, or those different categories who are qualified and allowed to receive the zakat. And there are eight categories, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned them in his book in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And we have studied a number of them. Allah, He mentioned that the sadaqat, meaning the obligatory charity, is only for al-fuqara, the destitute, والمساكين, the poor, والعاملين عليها, and those who work in the collection of the zakat, يعني meaning for the Muslim ruler, والمؤلفة قلوبهم, and those who we want to unite their hearts and bring them close to Islam. And after that, وفي الرقاب, وفي الرقاب, and this is where we stopped in our previous class with the fifth category, وفي الرقاب, يعني وفي فكي الرقاب, in freeing the slaves. So this is the fifth category of people who it is allowed to give them the zakat. They can receive the zakat and it will be considered correct and proper. الرقاب, يعني في الرقاب. So, يعني في فكي الرقاب, freeing the slaves. So الرقاب in the Arabic language is the plural of رقبه. الرقبه. And the raqaba is the back of the neck. يعني الرقبه مؤخره اصل العنق وجمع رقبه الرقاب. الرقاب. So وفي الرقاب يعني وتصرف الزكاه في فك الرقاب. So the zakat can be used and distributed in order to free the slaves, in order to free the slaves. And what is intended here are three different categories of individuals. The first one, the people of knowledge have agreed upon al-mukatab al-muslim, and the one who is a mukatab, he's a slave, he's a Muslim slave, but he's considered mukatab. And the mukatab is the one who has made an agreement with his owner, the slave who had made an agreement with his owner to purchase himself for freedom. They have agreed on an amount that if he had paid this amount, he would become free. And the slave will be freed for a particular amount. And then the owner, he will make an agreement with his slave that he will work for a period of time and earn a particular wages and pay him in payments. And whenever the payments are full, and whenever the payments are paid in full, he will be set free. He will be set free. So if this particular slave, yani he continues upon that way in his agreement, he will just work and he will collect payments and he will pay his payments and the likes like this, and their conditions and rules with regards to this. But if he had obtained the whole amount suddenly, he will be set free. He will be set free. So this is the first category here, and this is what is intended in the people of knowledge. They mention yani al-mukatab al-muslim. So however much he has left to pay to set him free, that will be given to him in his zakat. That can be given to him from the zakat, if he just started his contract or if he's halfway through his contract. However the amount may be, it can be given to him, yani from the wealth of the zakat, in order to set him free. And likewise the mamluk, yani the Muslim, الذي دخل في الرق, the one who had become yani a slave, yani, and he's not necessarily. He's not necessarily having this particular condition of making al-mukatabah. This is a particular type of situation. Mukatabah, whenever the owner will make an agreement with his slave that he can pay himself off. So not every slave is in this circumstance. So even if he was just a slave and he was a Muslim, then it's allowed for the zakat to be used to purchase slaves in order to set them free for the sake of Allah. And that if there are slaves that are known and the likes like this, then the money and the wealth from the zakat can be taken and can be used to purchase those slaves in order to set them free. So this is likewise allowed. Al-Mamluk al-Muslim, al-Ridhi dakhala firq. Naam. So the zakat can be paid for him. In order to be set free. And a person who purchased a slave, and he has zakat to pay, he will purchase a slave and set him free. This will be his zakat. And his zakat can be distributed like this. It can be used in this avenue. And it can be distributed in this avenue. So this is the case here. The third category is al-asir al-Muslim. Al-asir al-Muslim. Al-Ridhi waqa'a fi qablati al-kufar. Al-asir al-Muslim. The Muslim captive who has been, he's fallen into the clutches of the disbelievers. He's a captive, man. He is a Muslim captive. And he's fallen into the hands of the disbelievers. It's allowed likewise to use the zakat to set him free and to take him out of captivity. And so if it's allowed to free a Muslim slave from the hands of a Muslim, then min babi awla, then more rightfully, it's allowed to free a Muslim captive from the hands of the disbelievers. Not to mention that he may be tried in their captivity, be tried in his religion, or maybe he will be killed, or maybe his religion, or maybe he will be enslaved, yani at the hands of a disbeliever. So therefore, the people of knowledge, they have included the asir al-Muslim qiyasin ala al-mamluk, qiyasin ala al-mamluk. Yani that any min babi awla, qiyas al-awla, that is more rightful. Meaning that yani if it's legislated to free the Muslim slave who's under the hands of a Muslim, this is legislated and allowed, then the captive who is under the hands of a disbeliever has more right to be freed. And so therefore, the zakat can be distributed in this manner. So with regards to freeing slaves and the likes like this, this is highly encouraged. This is something that is highly encouraged. And there's many ways of encouragement to free the slaves and the likes like this. The point now is that the zakat can be distributed in this manner. The zakat can be distributed in this manner. The sixth category, the people of knowledge, they mentioned al-ghalimun. The sixth category that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, yani in the Quran, wal-ghalimin. Yani wal-ghalimun is from yani al-ghurm. Ghalima yagramu ghurman, and the ghalim, he is the person who is in debt. Al-ghalim al-ladhi alayhi dain. Al-ghalim, he's the one who has debt. يعني and in the غارم شيء يعني لازمه فكأن الدين لازمه يعني something that is يعني stuck with him, it's something that he cannot get away from. And likewise the one who has the debt, who owns the debt, he's called the غريم لأنه يلزم صاحب دينه, because he's always after the person that owes him the money, and he's with him likewise and doesn't let him go. So this is the issue. It's allowed as well to give the zakat in this pathway or in this avenue as well. This category is different types. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that هنا سنفان من الناس يدخلان في الغارمين. There are two categories of people that are included here. Yani that one, he could distribute his zakat to them and give his zakat to them, and it will be considered proper and correct and according to the legislation. Two categories of people. The first one, من أخذ دين لإصلاحي للإصلاحي بين الناس, يعني لإصلاحي ذات البين. The first category is a person, he has taken a debt in order to rectify between a party of people, or in order to rectify between the families. من حمل حمالة, يعني حمالة, and he will take on a debt, يعني in order to rectify some troubles or some falling out that happened or occurred between a party of people, or any two parties of people, or two individuals, or two families, and the likes like this. And he will take a dain for this money, or he'll go in debt for this money. And he will pay the debt. He will take care of that. يعني himself or else he would take a debt يعني in order to take care of this affair. He would take a debt in order to take care of this affair. So this is the first case. الغارم لإصلاح ذات البين وهو من يحمل دية أو مال لتسكين فتنة أو إصلاح بين طائفتين يعني فيدفع إليه من الزكاة ما يؤدي حمالته ولو كان غنيا. The people of knowledge, they mentioned about this individual here, the one who has taken a debt. For example, there's troubles and fitna between two tribes or between two families about the death of an individual, and there's blood money to be paid, and they can't pay it. And if something is not handled soon, there's going to be more fitna, and there's going to be more troubles and more trials. Then a man, he will step up and he will say, the money is on me, I'll cover it. They can't cover, I'll cover it. Just calm down. Like this. And he will step in order to bring reconciliation between the people. And he will put the debt on him. And he'll tell the people, don't worry, I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to pay the blood. I'm going to pay the diyah. I'm going to pay the blood money like this. Or if they're having dispute about some money and the likes like this. Maybe it's a lot of money. One he says he doesn't owe it, the other says he owes it. And they're having a dispute and things are getting hot. And it's getting dangerous and the likes like this. And then some good doer, a muhsin, somebody who's muhsin, muslih, he steps in. He wants to rectify the affair. He wants to squash it and bring reconciliation. And he's like, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. How much is the debt? $5,000, for example. He said, it's on me. I'll take care of it. So he stepped in order to reconcile between these two parties. And he has now taken a debt. In order to calm down. The fitna, in order to save any of the troubles and the problems and to bring reconciliation. So this person, he can receive the zakat. He can receive the zakat even if he's wealthy and he went into debt in this manner, even if he's wealthy and he had the intention whenever he made it like this, and whenever he said, it's on me, I'll pay for it. Everybody calm down, the debt's on me, I'll take the debt. And he had the intention to take that from zakat, then he can receive the zakat from the ruler or from those who are distributing and the likes like this, and he will be paid back, or he will take that and use that, yani to pay the debt or pay the money, and either if he paid himself, he'll get his money back, or if the debt is on him and he owes that now and it's on him and they're waiting for their money, he'll get the money and he will pay them in this manner, like this. All of this is allowed, and this is the first category. So even if he's wealthy, he has money himself, and this is tasji'an. Then nasi al khayr, to encourage the people to do good. And he doesn't have to be poor now to receive the zakat. Maybe he has money himself, but it's not upon him to do that. If he carried that weight with this intention for the zakat and the likes like this, then it will be paid from the zakat even if he's wealthy, in order to encourage the people to do good. So this type of individual here, the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, you need to clarify, he'll be three categories. يعني من استدان أو من اقترض لتسكين الفتنة أو إصلاح بين طائفتين. يعني بين طائفتين. يعني لمصلحة مطلوبة لغيره. He does this in order to help somebody else, not his own self. So he takes the debt. يعني he will go and get a debt. He will go and borrow money. He will go to somebody and borrow money. He takes a debt. What does he take the debt for? To pay off these people in order to calm down the troubles, in order to stop the fitna and the likes like this. So this is one avenue. He will go to somebody and he will loan. He said, I need to borrow $5,000. He'll take the $5,000 debt. He'll take that money and then he'll go give it to the people in order to calm down their troubles. Or he will just tell the people, for example, it's on me, I'll take care of it. The debt is on me, I'll take care of it. And now it's fi dhimmatihi. Now it's in his right. And the money or the wealth or that value of that particular issue is on him, and he is the one who's responsible now. He takes responsibility for that, and he between the people. So now likewise he can receive the zakat. And also the one who gave from his own money, if he gave it from his own money. So all of these avenues, he took it out of his pocket, he paid the money. He took it out of his pocket, he paid the $5,000. And he intended with that to get it back from the zakat. He can take it back from the zakat when the zakat comes. And he's looking around, he knows the zakat is distributed at a particular time, but it's not time yet. So he's like, I'll pay for it now. And then whenever I pay for it, he's intending to get it back. In this manner, it will be allowed. it'll be allowed. So any one of these different forms of how this would occur, all of this is included. All of this is included. All of this is included. The second type is man istadana li mubahin. Man istadana li mubahin thumma a'sara fasara ajizan an wafa'ihi. The second category is the one who has taken a debt, he has taken a loan for something that's permissible. Himself, this is a different category, this is the second category. Somebody who has taken a loan to purchase something that is permissible and allowed. And then along the way, in that debt, some things happen and he doesn't have the ability to pay it back now. It became heavy on him. He had taken the debt and for something permissible and allowed. And then after that, when it's time to pay it back, now he's having trouble, he's not able to pay it back. He's not able to pay it back. So this person, likewise, it's allowed to give him money to pay his debt. And it will look and see how much is it. And that will be covered. And the whole thing will be paid off for him like this. He's the Adam. Yeah, he's the second category. Hum Sinfani, the first one, Tahamala Hamala. And the one who took the debt in any fi islah that al-bayn. The first category is the one who wants to rectify between two parties. This one is agreed upon. There's no doubt about this one. This is what is included. The one who went into debt in order to rectify in between two parties. That's the first category. The second category, likewise, which is also included, and Allah knows best, is the one who took a debt for himself. He took a debt to buy a car. He took a debt to take care of some business. He took a debt for whatever the case may be, from something that's allowed and permissible. ثم عجز عن وفائه. And then after that, he's not able to pay it back. Then his debt can be paid off. So there's two conditions here. First, al-istidana li-amr mubah. Al-istidana li-amr mubah. That first he has to take a debt. This is in the case of the one who takes a debt for something that's permissible. For something that's permissible. Not for something that's haram. يستدين لمعصية. This one is not allowed. He took a debt in order to do something haram. He took a debt, for example, in order to travel, to commit fornication. Or he took a debt to travel, to go drink and party, for example. He took a debt and he borrowed money to travel to go to Las Vegas, for example. And to go here in America. Something like this. And he took a debt, يعني لمعصية, in order to perform an action of disobedience. He will not be given to him. It's not allowed to give it to him. Man istadana li ma'asiya or man istadana bi ma'asiya. Both of them are included. And this is a benefit for the brothers learning the Arabic language. And the difference between huruf al-jar has a big different meaning. And in the Arab, alhamdulillah, they understand very clearly. But for those who are learning, it's very beneficial to realize this. Man istadana li ma'asiya. He's the one who took a debt in order to disobey Allah. وَمَنْ اسْتَدَانَ بِمَعْسِيَةٍ. And the one who took a debt, with the disobedience of Allah. Meaning he took a debt with interest. For example. So the first one, he took a debt to perform an action of disobedience. His reason for taking the debt, why did he get a loan for? Because he wants to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. He wants to do something, for example, he wants to take a loan to get some money, to purchase some items, to go into a business that's not permissible and not allowed. That's why he took the debt. Why did he take the debt? لِمَعْسِيَة. For sin, for transgression, for disobedience. Then this person cannot be given from the zakat to pay his debt back. And likewise, the one استدانة بِمَعْسِيَة. He took a debt with disobedience. He took a debt with disobedience, meaning that he took a debt that has interest in it. It has interest in it. He took a debt to buy a car, which is allowed to buy a car, right? But he took a debt to buy a car with interest. And with interest to pay payments, to put a down payment on a car, for example, and the likes like this with interest, or a house with interest. This person right here is not allowed to pay his debt from the zakat. لأن الزكاة عبادة ولا يستعان بها على المعصية. لا يستعان بالعبادة على المعصية. It's not allowed to use actions of worship to help people perform actions of disobedience. So therefore, this one is the first condition. And the second condition, ليس عندهما يكون به الوفاء. He doesn't have the ability to pay it back, and he doesn't have the money to pay the debt back. So if these conditions are present, he can receive from the zakat. If he borrowed the money for something that is allowed, and in a permissible manner, and likewise he's not able to pay the debt back, then he can receive the money from the zakat. He can receive the money from the zakat. You understand this? The whole point is about zakat. Somebody giving him money from their own charity to help them, this is a whole other story. And the people who are in debt, no doubt, it's encouraged to help them and to pay the debts of the people. This is from the good deeds, to overlook the debts. فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرًا, or to forgive them entirely, and the likes like this. This is something that is a good deed. But now the point is that it's allowed to receive the zakat. Any person who is in debt, he has a debt on him, it's allowed to give him the zakat with these two conditions. With these two conditions. Now we have the issue, what about if he repented? If he repented, for example, he took a debt, yani, for something haram or with something haram. He took a debt for something haram or with something haram, and then he repented. Could he receive the zakat now? Could he receive the zakat now? The people of knowledge, they differed about this affair. But many of the people of knowledge mentioned that he will not receive the zakat now. And this is because people will use this as a means to get by or to get away, yani, and to get around the legislation and the likes like this, and they'll take advantage. Somebody, for example, would be like, "Oh, I'll take this big debt and get this house and this great interest or this car, or I'll do this. I'll take a debt to do this or to do that in manners that are not allowed and impermissible. And then in the end, I'll repent, and then the Muslims, they'll pay it off from you with zakat. The Muslims, they'll pay it off from you with zakat." And so from this aspect, the people of knowledge, many of them mention it's not allowed. Even if he repented, the person who took a debt in this manner, he took a debt for something haram or in a manner that is haram, then the zakat cannot be given to him absolutely. And others mention that it could be given to him if his repentance was proper and good. So Allah knows best. What is correct is that one will look into the individual and his situation. One will look into each individual in his situation. If it's somebody that is apparent from them that they have repented, and that it's clear from their manners and it's clear from their way of life, and that they have changed and they're not on the bad way anymore, and they're not on a bad way anymore, and the likes like this, and this is only going to be distinguished by the passing of time and by knowing the individual. So if this is the case, time passes, and the person, he repented from that way, and it's apparent from him, and he's known to be upright and good, then inshallah he can be given. But as for other than that, then he will not be given, and he will not be used in this manner, or something that would be taken advantage of. Something that could be taken advantage of. Somebody would say that they would do this, any foul action indeed, and then take a loan in this manner, and then in the end they will claim they will repent and have the money from the zakat to pay that off. This is something that one will be cautious with regards to, and not be allowed any to be taken advantage of. So wallahu a'lam, the issue is that it will not be given to him, except in a case where individual is known about him. It's known about him that he has changed. It's known about him that he's upright. It's known about him after some time that he is upon a good way and his life has changed from what he was upon before. Then he would be given, and Allah knows best. Then he would be given, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. And so with regards to the hamala, this is the origin of this issue. The gharimeen has been clarified in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Qabisa ibn Mukhariq al-Hilali radiyallahu anhu. And he said, "Tahamaltu hamalatan fa'ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as'aluhu fiha." He said, I had taken on the responsibility of rectifying between two parties, between two tribes, and the likes like this. And I had taken on the responsibility of paying that debt. So I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him about that. فَقَالَ أَقِمْ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَنَا أَصَّدَقَةً فَنَأْمُرَ لَكَ بِهَا. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stay here, reside here, and he stay with us until the charity comes to us. Meaning till the money from the zakat comes to us, and we'll give you some. And we'll give you from that. So this was any of the evidence with regards to that. So how much would he be given? He'll be given enough to pay his debt. This is the al-gharimun. After that we have وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. نعم الغارمين وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يعني المجاهدين في سبيل الله. This is what is intended here, الغزات. So fi sabilillah, whenever this term here is mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah, what is intended first and foremost is that jihad fi sabilillah, muqatilat al-kuffar li i'la'i kalimatillahi azza wa jal, fighting the disbelievers in order to raise the statement la ilaha illallah. This is what is intended from fi sabilillah, to raise the to fight the disbelievers. Fi sabilillah in the Quran and in the Sunnah in general, whenever it's mentioned, this is what is intended first and foremost. Striving and fighting any in the path of Allah with the weapon, fighting the disbelievers in order to establish the religion. Yani under the banner of a Muslim ruler. Under the banner of the Muslim ruler, the legislative jihad. So what is intended here? Al-Ghuzat. Al-Ghuzat. Yani fi sabilillah, al-Ghuzat fi sabilillah. Those soldiers who are fighting in the path of Allah. And it's not any ghuzat. Likewise, it's the people of knowledge, they mention al-ghuzat al-mutatawi'un. Al-mutatawi'un, those ghuzat who are fighting voluntarily in the path of Allah. Who are fighting voluntarily in the path of Allah. La diwana lahum wa la ratib. La diwana lahum wa la ratib. They have no diwan. They're not in the books. They have no salary from the government. Because the jihad that is established properly will be under the command and the leadership of a Muslim ruler. And that Muslim ruler, he will have under him a government. And the army, they will receive a salary from the government. So those individuals who are in the army, and the Muslim army, they're fighting under the Muslim ruler. The ruler, he will give them a salary. They will receive a salary and the likes like this. And also there will be some as well that do not receive a salary. They want to fight for the sake of Allah with no salary, yani only, and the likes like this. So they will not be, yani in the books, they will not be receiving a salary from the Muslim ruler for their fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the ones that are intended here. Those who are voluntary soldiers. Voluntary soldiers fighting in the path of Allah, it's allowed for them to receive the zakat. It's allowed for them to receive the zakat even if they're wealthy. Even if they're wealthy. Even if they're wealthy. So this is another example of the individuals that it's allowed to receive the zakat even if they are considered from the Aghniya. So from those who are allowed to receive the zakat, even though he's wealthy, the soldier in the path of Allah. Which soldier is he? He's the one who does not have a salary. He's one who does not have a salary from the Muslim ruler. Or he has a salary, but it's not enough to suffice him and his family. But it's not enough to suffice him and his family. So again, the soldiers in the Muslim army, they will be in a diwan. Their names will be recorded and they will be enrolled in the Muslim army. They'll be enrolled in the Muslim army. So those who are enrolled in the Muslim army, then they will have a salary. They'll have a salary. So if their salary is sufficient for them and their family and the likes like this, then they will not. It's not allowed for them to receive the zakat. It's not allowed for them to receive the zakat. If their salary is not enough for them and their family, it's allowed for them to receive the zakat. If they're mutatawi'ah, they have no salary whatsoever, and they're not enrolled officially in the Muslim army, but they're fighting along with them and aiding and supporting them, it's allowed for them to receive the zakat. It's allowed for them to receive the zakat. So the amount that they get, they will receive enough to purchase weapons and to purchase any of the vehicles that they need. And likewise, they will be given enough to have spending money for themselves and to cover their family. The people of knowledge, again, they mention even if they're wealthy, even if they're considered wealthy themselves, they'll be given money from the zakat to purchase weapons. They'll be given money from zakat to purchase any of the animals, the riding animals and the likes like this, meaning the vehicles. That which they need as supplies. And likewise, to cover spending money for themselves as well as for their families. And this is because they are taking zakat now for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the Muslims. Likewise, the one who had taken the debt before, he's taken the money for the benefit of the others. He's taking the debt in order to unify and to rectify and to bring consultation between two other parties, not for himself. So he's doing it for the Muslims, not for himself. So it's allowed for him to take it even if he's ghani. And likewise, this one here, he's fighting in the path of Allah for himself, not for Allah. So he's aiding and helping the Muslims. So therefore, it's allowed for him to take likewise. And the amil, he's working in the path of zakat as a collector, and the likes like this, or the other avenues of working in the path of zakat, also he's working for the Muslims. So therefore, he will get an ujrah, and it's allowed for him to take that likewise. It's Allah for him to take that likewise. To take that likewise. So it's been narrated by Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تِحِلُّ صَدَقَةُ لِغَنِيًّا إِلَّا لِخَمْسَةً. We have taken this narration before. It's not allowed. The obligatory charity is not allowed for someone who is considered wealthy except in five cases. لِغَازٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ لِعَامِرٍ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ لِغَارِمٍ أَوْ لِرَجُلٍ اشْتَرَاهَا بِمَالِهِ أَوْ لِرَجُلٍ كَانَ لَهُ جَارٌ مِسْكِينٍ فَتُصُدِّقَ عَلَى الْمِسْكِينِ فَأَهْدَاهَا الْمِسْكِينُ إِلَى الْغَنِي إِلَى الْغَنِي. So these are the five here that is mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sadaqah, the obligatory charity, yani the zakat, is not allowed for a wealthy person to obtain that, to take that, except in five cases. The first one is the one who's fighting in the path of Allah. This is the shahid. Any for our category now, al-ghazi fi sabilillah. And what does fi sabilillah mean? Fi sabilillah he mean in the verse li-ghazin fi sabilillah. And this is what is intended here from the mention of this particular narration. Also li-amirin alayha, for those who are working in the path of zakat, and we have seen the details of that. Aw li-ghadimin, or the one who has taken a debt. So these are the three that have preceded. So this narration here is an evidence clarifying all of that, along with that verse in the Noble Quran. Awli rajulin ishtaraha bimarihi. Awli rajulin ishtaraha bimarihi. Or to a man, it's allowed also for a man who purchased it with his own wealth. Who purchased it with his own wealth. Remember this? How would this happen? A man, he purchased the charity with his own wealth. For example, a poor person, he received his zakat. He received his zakat and he received animals. He received sheep, for example. And then a rich man came by and bought one of those sheep. So now that zakat came into his possession. So this is included here. And he's not actually receiving the zakat, but the zakat came into his possession. That's to clarify, this is the only way that it's going to happen. Either he's going to be fighting in the path of Allah, which has preceded, or he's going to be somebody who's working in the manner that's proper, yani for the zakat, under the ruler, or he's going to be somebody in a debt, yani with the details that preceded, or he's going to purchase it from somebody who got it, and who deserved to get it. Like this. أو لي تصدق على مسكين, or a poor person, he received the charity likewise, and then he gave it as a gift to a wealthy person. He gave it as a gift to a wealthy person. So that's the only way that the sadaqah can come into the hands of a wealthy person. We understand this. This part is clear. And so likewise, it has been mentioned, yani, a benefit with regards to this narration is authentic, is found in Sunan Abi Dawud. So Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book al-Mughni, he mentioned, al-zakatu innama tusrafu li-ahadi rajulain. Al-zakat innama tusrafu li-ahadi rajulain. The zakat is only given to two types of men, any two types of individuals, meaning two categories of people. He said, muhtajun ilayha kal-fuqara'i wal-masakin wa-fir-riqabi wal-gharimina li-kadha'i duyunihim. The first category is the one who is in need of it, like the poor and the needy, and freeing the slaves, and likewise those who are in debt in order to pay back his debt. Those who are in debt in order to pay back his debt. And this is the first category. أو من يحتاج إليه المسلمون. أو من يحتاج إليه المسلمون كالعاملي والغازي والمؤلفي والغارمي ولإصلاح ذات البين. Or those who the Muslims are in need of. So who can receive the zakat? Two categories of people. The first one, he himself is in need of zakat. The first one himself, he's in need of zakat. This is the one that always comes to our mind in the first place when we think about charity, huh? The one who is in need of zakat, like the poor and the needy, and like freeing slaves, and they're in need of the zakat. Likewise, the one who is in debt, and in order to pay his debt back, he's in need of zakat. Likewise, man yahtaju ilayhi al-muslimun. Likewise, those who the Muslims are in need of, he can also receive the zakat. Like in the case of the one who's working in that cause, or the one who's fighting in the path of Allah, or the one who is considered al-mu'allif, the one we're trying to bring him close and trying to make relationships with him, either to strengthen his faith if he's a believer, or to bring him into Islam if he's close, or to keep his harm away from the believers if he's a disbeliever. If he's a disbeliever. So this is something that the Muslims are in need of. So therefore it's allowed to give the zakat to them. And likewise, for the one who is rectifying between the people. The one who's rectifying between the people, because the people are in need of him. The Muslims are in need of him. So this is mentioning the both categories, right? The first one, al-gharim li-qada'i duyunihi. The first one is the one who's fallen into debt in order to pay back his debts. So the first one, he needs the money. The second time, because the Ghanim is mentioned twice. You understand that? Everybody with me? The second time he's mentioned from those the Muslims are in need of. Because the Muslims are in need of individuals to step up and to be men and to be courageous and to rectify between these parties before things get out of hand. And before Muslim blood is shed at the hands of one another, or before dissension comes into the ranks, or before problem and trouble comes into the community and the likes like this, or into the family. So he'll step up and he'll solve that and take on that debt. So therefore he can receive zakat. So therefore the people who receive zakat are two categories. What are they? Those who need the zakat, and those who the Muslims need them. Those who the Muslims need them. Those who need the zakat, the fuqara wal masakin, and the riqab, what God mean? Like the poor and the needy, and freeing the slaves, and then paying the debts for those who have debts. Paying the debts for those who have debts. Those are the ones who are in need of zakat. And the second category, those who the Muslims need them. The Muslims are in need of them to stand up and to do and to perform these actions, like those who are working in the path of collecting the zakat, or taking care of the zakat, or distributing the zakat, weighing the zakat, protecting the zakat, and the likes like this, gathering the zakat and bringing it to the distribution place, and the likes like this. And the zakat sometimes, for example, is going to be animals. Somebody has to be a shepherd and take care of those animals. Somebody has to go to the farms and collect those animals and bring them back. Somebody has to feed those animals. Somebody has to count those animals. Somebody has to distribute those animals to the people that deserve it. So all the people who work in this path, somebody has to keep track of the books of those animals and who they go to and the likes like this. All of these people are considered amiluna alayha. They're working. So the Muslims are in need of these people to work. So therefore they can receive from the zakat. Likewise the Ghazi. The Mujahid, the one who's fighting in the path of Allah, the believers are in need of him. The believers are in need of him. And likewise the Mu'allif, the one who's trying to unite his heart, the believers are in need of him. Somebody, he's our brother, but his deen is weak. His deen is weak. If we're nice to him, we're courteous with him, we're kind to him, we give him some money, then he will become strong and close to us. And then we'll be strong with the strength of our brother. With the strength of our brother. Or somebody, he's about to accept Islam, he's close, he's a disbeliever. He's a disbeliever, but he's really close. Maybe somebody we've been working with, and he's close to accepting Islam. We give him a gift to bring his heart closer to us. And then likewise, we're in need of him so that the ummah will grow. The ummah will grow. He will be our friend and not our enemy. He'll be our companion and our helper and not our enemy. And somebody who is against us and the likes like that. Or somebody who is a disbeliever. And it's not hope that he would accept Islam, but he's got position and rank. And it's believed that if we give him money, he will not harm the Muslims. Or he'll take pressure off the Muslims. And the likes like this. So likewise, the Muslims are in need of this type of individual likewise to have any relationships with them. So therefore, it's allowed to give this person zakat likewise. This is a benefit that is mentioned by Ibn Qudama in Al-Bukhni, and it is for Fa'idah Nafisa. Fa'idah Nafisa. The last one, Wabin al-Sabil. Wabin al-Sabil. Ibn al-Sabil. Ibn al-Sabil, any Ibn literally means child, the son. Ibn al-Sabil. Al-Sabil, yani al-Tariq. The path. The son of the path, if you want to translate it literally. The son of the path. What is intended here? The wayfarer, the one who's traveling. The one who's traveling. So lugatan as-sabil aslan huwa at-tariq. As-sabil huwa at-tariq, yani the path. And they call him Ibn Sabil, yani huwa al-musafir kathir as-safar. Either they call him Ibn Sabil because he's the one who is yani always traveling. Always traveling. So he's called the son of the path. Yani meaning that it's like he's always on the path. So he has this title now like this. Or he's somebody who al-musafir yani that al-ba'id min manzilihi. So this is also another yani understanding. Ibn al-Sabil. Why they call it Ibn al-Sabil? Because he's far from home. He's traveling and he's far from home. But as for yani istilahan, what is intended? Al-musafir al-ghareeb al-munqati' bihi fi safarihi an ahlihi wa malihi. Wa laysa lahu ma yarji'u bihi ila baladihi. Ila baladihi. Walau kana ghaniyan yani fi baladihi. So Ibn al-Sabil hu al-musafir al-ghareeb al-munqati' bihi fi safarihi an ahlihi wa malihi. The one who is a traveler and he's been cut off on his path. He's far from home. He's far from home and likewise he's far from his wealth. He doesn't have that which he needs from the provision to help him get back home. Even if he's considered wealthy in his land. Even if he's considered wealthy in his land. And if he were to get back home, he would be considered wealthy. But at this moment, he's not wealthy. And if, for example, maybe he's traveling and something happened to yani his provision. It got stolen. Or something happened and he lost his wallet, or he lost his money, or whatever the case may be. In any case, he's traveling, and now he's cut off. He does not have the provision or the means to get back home. He doesn't have the provision or the means to get back home. So this individual here, he can be given the zakat. He can be given the zakat. Somebody wouldn't say, oh, well, his wallet was stolen or his money was stolen, but he still has a card. If he has a card with him, he's just going to go to the bank and pull out the money, and he's good. Meaning he doesn't have the money. He doesn't have any finances in this circumstance. We understand that. And he's cut off, meaning he's not able to access his money. If he has money, and he's not able to access it. And the likes like this, where he doesn't have money at all. He doesn't have any provision to get back home. Then he'll be given that which he needs to get back home. This is the one who's already traveling, and he's already on his journey. He does not have enough to get any to his destination. He's cut off. He'll be given from the zakat. He'll be given from the zakat. As for the one who is in his home about to travel, he's not given from the zakat. He's saying, I'm going to travel. Can you give me some zakat? Like this, that. This one is not given from the zakat. And he's not considered Ibn Sabil. What is intended is one, he's on a journey, and he's cut off from his journey. So therefore, he will be given the amount that he needs to get back to his home. So this was the masarif, al-zakat, al-masakin. We've seen the details of that. And the fuqara, likewise, or al-fuqara, wal-masakin, wa al-amirina alayha, wal-mu'allafati qulubuhum, wa fil-riqab, wal-gharimina, wa fi sabilillahi, wa bin al-sabil. There are 8 of them. Thamaniya asnaf. You call Allah masarif, الزكاه واهلي اهل الزكاه. So this is that issue. Now there are a number of issues left, يعني before we finish, any different مسائل متعلقة بهذا الباب, different issues they need to discuss with regards to the chapter of zakat. Inshallah, we take them in the class to come. We should be able to finish in maybe a few more classes, inshallah, any of these different issues that are very important with regards to this affair. Before we see if there are any questions, just a reminder, barakallahu fikum, that many times the children are left in the other room and they're disturbing the people and they're running around, and it's been mentioned a number of times, and it's something that we have to stand up and take care of ourselves. And the responsibility lies upon the parent first and foremost. And especially those children that are of the age of puberty and the likes, they're able to comprehend and listen, then this class is for them likewise. And the knowledge that we all learn is the same. And the youth, they used to sit in the gatherings with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas, he was a young boy before the age of puberty. And the likes, and Nu'man ibn Bashir, and other than them, radiallahu anhum, from the companions, they were young. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, all of them, they were young boys before the age of puberty, or close to the age of puberty, and the likes like this. And they're sitting in the gatherings of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, after that, the Salaf al-Salih, they used to bring their children to the gatherings of tahdith, of narrating. So those children, they should be brought to the class, especially those who are of the age of puberty, because that which is mentioned now is incumbent for them to learn likewise. And Islam, the knowledge is the same, and we shouldn't yani be lost in the pop culture that the children, they have to have a special teaching, and that the children, he has to be taught like a baby, and the likes like this. He's a man. They're young men. They're young men now. They're going to sit in the class and learn at Islam property. And this is what they should be taught to do, and should be encouraged to do, and the likes like this. As for those who are younger, then likewise, they should be encouraged to follow likewise the class, and even though it's maybe more difficult for them. But in any case, we should not leave them to ruin the masjid, or to bother or to disturb the people. And sometimes they run around and they destroy stuff. And other times they go outside and they're in danger. They're in danger. And sometimes they're running in the parking lot. And sometimes they have really any good ideas. So they think, and one of them says, let's play hide and seek. And the other one will say, where should we hide? He said, under the cars. And this is, and we've heard the likes of this, and that's right after Isha. So this is very dangerous. So they're just playing. They don't know. It sounds like a good place to hide. But many times we leave after Isha and we're in a hurry. And we get in our car. We don't check under our car for children. And may Allah protect our children. So the point is, we have to be diligent to do that. Barakallahu fikum, and cooperate together. And if one of us sees somebody else's child, we shouldn't be shy and be like, well, that's not my child. لا, we command the good and forbid the evil. This is from the best of the good of this ummah is in that. So any my child, your child, they're our children. So if we see our child doing something wrong, you reprimand him and you correct him and you direct him any the manner you would like to be directed. And we have to remember that no doubt the children, they're tried in this society, in this land, and it's very difficult for them and for us. Yani, but we don't want to run them away. We don't want to, you know, what are you doing here? You go somewhere else. No, don't go somewhere else. Come right here. You're in the right place. They're in the right place. So we have to figure out how we're going to deal with this together. And this is going to be with wisdom and gentleness and good speech. Yani, advising them little by little, reminding them over and over and over. We can't say, I told him. You got to tell him again. You can't, I told him. You got to tell him again. You keep telling him over and over and over. We don't say, oh, well, I told you so many times. Go to the disbelievers. Go play basketball with the kuffar then. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. Yani, so we're in a bad situation. Yani, so we're in a bad situation. So we have to be patient. And we have to work together. And any of the children, if your uncle tells you to stop, you listen to him and you respect him. Well, we should teach our children likewise to respect the elders. If somebody tells them to stop, if somebody tells them to be quiet, if somebody tells them to start running, the likes like this, they should listen to us because sometimes maybe they're disrespectful likewise, and this is also a problem. So to remind you and me and to remind our children, may Allah rectify our affairs.